And we'll look at verses 7 through 9 and think about being thankful and thinking about some things that trigger us and to stimulate us to have a heart of thanksgiving. And you know, as I said, it ought not just be in November, but we ought to have a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude every day that God gives us a chance to breathe and live and walk amongst this earth. It should be a time of rejoicing, a time of thanksgiving that we should have. Psalms 147, and we'll look at verse 7 through 9. Go with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we thank you, Lord. And God, as Danny was playing, it is well with our soul. And God, we thank you that it's because of you, and it's because of you giving your son Jesus, God, and we inviting him in our heart to be our Lord and Savior, God, that we can say, it is well with our soul. And God, that is one of the things that, God, we can be thankful for and thankful about. The Lord is realizing where we were and the path that we were headed and the road that we were on. The Lord, when you changed our life, and God, when you turned us around and you gave us a new life and a new direction, the Lord, that is found in you. God, I pray that you'd open up our hearts and our minds and our ears today, that God, as we read your word, that we can reflect on life, that we can reflect back, and God, and see what we can be thankful about, Lord, and apply that to our life each and every day, not just the time of Thanksgiving and November gets here, but God, truly live in a spirit of gratitude and a spirit of thanksgiving. And God, I pray that you defeat the devil, bind him up, the Lord, and demons in opposition, cast them away. God, they're not welcome here. And God, we pray in the name of Jesus, they got to go. And God, I pray that you'll let the Holy Spirit indwell us. God, fill this place with your presence and power. And God, may, again, we be receptive to receive your word. And God, apply it. And God, we're just going to thank you for what you're going to do. And we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Psalm 147. In verse 7 through 9, stimulus for thanksgiving, it says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto upon the harp unto our God, who covered the heaven with clouds, who prepared rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow up on the mountains, who give to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. You know, number one, you know, I got to thinking about Thanksgiving. And if you take a note, looking at the things, looking out should stimulate us to Thanksgiving. And I always love the slides Marky puts up and finds. You know, looking out at the beauty, looking out of what God has created. And you know, as I said before, God put things into motion and God made things 3D in real life before 3D in real life come out. God had done invented it. And God done made it to come to life. And you look at the beauty of those things and you look out at what he's created and you look at the heavens and you look at the clouds and you look at nature and all that is out there. When you're looking out, to stimulate us to be thankful for what God has done and look at the beauty of his creation and the scenery that he has. When you look back at Psalms 147 and you look back at verses 8 and 9, it says, who covers the heaven with clouds? It says, who openeth the rain for the earth? Who makes the grass to grow upon the mountains? Who gives the beast his food and the young ravens which cry? God has made this a beautiful world, folks, for you and I to enjoy. He has created everything. He has made it for us. Only God could create the natural beauty that never ceases to amaze us. You know, and I think about that. And I said, he made this for you and me to enjoy. He created it all for us to enjoy and to be a part of. You know, when we think about Thanksgiving, as I said, it ought not just be a November when we're thankful. It ought not just be a November when we're stimulated to look out and to see what are we thankful for and about. You know, I love being with my family. I love being outdoors. As you know, my boys and Tanya and us, we live off the land. We live in the woods. We live on the water, and my boys have always been there. And I say keeping them with me in that area keeps them out of trouble and getting in trouble in society. You know, when you got them in the woods with you and you got them on the water and they're with you, and guess what? They want to be with you. You know, and I was tired yesterday and things of that nature and didn't think that, you know, I'm not going to go hunting today. What does Grant do? Give something, Daddy, when we're going to the woods. I said, you know, all right, we'll go. You know, but being out there and sitting in a tree stand with him and enjoying things, and we get out there and we look and we watch the butterflies. We watch the grasshoppers as they come and fly on the tree stand and start running around, and then Grant gets a little twig and he starts playing with the grasshopper and chasing it from one end to the other end. You know, it's something to see, or the grasshopper will fall down, you know, and or a caterpillar, and he'll grab the caterpillar and he'll play with it and mess with it, and then ones will look like they got thorns and things coming out off their back. I say, hey, boy, get that thing over there. And a whole mess with me with him. But, you know, looking at the things of beauty and looking at the outdoors. And the other day we were sitting in there, and a hawk flew around and landed in a tree. And, you know, we seen it fly by, but it got out of sight. I was sitting there, you know, and all of a sudden the woods come to life, man. The trees started crashing, and you could hear pine tree bark flying and all that. I said, yeah, man, the big Bowie Grande's coming out here. We started paying attention, and the hawk had flew on a pine tree and was chasing a squirrel around the pine tree. And I'm not sitting there thinking, man, the big one's coming out, Jerry. I'm fitting a rack up. Man, but it was a hawk chasing a squirrel around the pine tree. You know, and there's things, and we started laughing. Things to see, you know, and the turkeys start clucking and coming in and being out there, enjoy fishing and things of that nature. God has created it for us to enjoy. You know, and he's provided those things for you and me to be able to enjoy. And I think, you know, looking out at that, we love to go to the mountains, and we got family that's up there. And we'll go up to Pigeon Ford and Gatlinburg and Cades Cove. And we love to go to Cades Cove and do the little 11-mile motor tour and get out and take pictures of the bear and the deer and walk the old farmlands and go through the old mills and go up to the creeks and hike up to the churches and look at the little Pigeon River flowing and things of that nature and look at the Smokies and take pictures of it. It's like, wow, look what the Lord has did. Look what the Lord created. Look what he made for us to enjoy. Or going to the beach and surf fishing, or, you know, finding shells or whatever. Those things are to stimulate us for Thanksgiving. And not only that, but for everyday living. Looking around and seeing God's creation and being thankful what he's done. Not only that, but when I'm stimulated about Thanksgiving, I reflect back on my life and see what God has done, what God has brought me out of and brought me to, and reflect back on my life and look back at, like, the prodigal son and read those descriptions of them, or, you know, young and just full of energy, and give it all to me, and you go and waste it all in righteous living, but thank the Lord that your family is there to welcome you back in. You know, stimulus for Thanksgiving, understanding where you were at one time in life and where you are today and how God has blessed. And you look back at the prodigal son. You look back at Luke 15 and verses 11 through 24. And you see, he said unto a certain man that had two sons. He goes on to say, just keep up with me. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of good that falleth to me, and divide them unto his living. Father, give me all. Give what's coming to me. Give me what I deserve. Give it to me. And he said, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. That's what happens to us sometimes. When we get what we want, we tend to wander off into a far country and get out there. And there he wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to the citizens of a country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I arise and go to my father, and I was saying to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let's eat, and be merry. For this was my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and he is found. And they began to be merry. Oh, my friend, listen to me. When you reflect back in your life and my life, you can reflect back on times and relate to those times where we were like the prodigal son. Well, we went our own direction, and we went our own way. But thank God, just like the prodigal son, he came to his senses, and he realized that he had sinned against the Father in heaven, that he had sinned against some things, and he repented, my friend, from where he was. He got out from where he was, and he went back. He repented. He went back to where he had it made. He went back to the Father's house. Thank the Lord, he doesn't give up on us. Thank the Lord that we can look back in our own life and see, just like the prodigal son, my friend, where Jesus was standing right there where we left him at, my friend, to call us back. Thank the Lord that we serve a God of a second chance. Thank the Lord that in our lives, my friends, we can tend to make a mess of things. But thank God we serve a God of a second chance. A God of a second chance that ought to stimulate you and me a little bit for Thanksgiving. To be thankful that we serve a God that gives us another chance. Serve a God, my friend, that when we get off and thinking our own stuff, God is there for us. Not only that, but thanking God for a bountiful supply that he has given us. Philippians 4:19. He goes and said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My friends, thanking, looking out. When you look out, you can see how God has provided. You can see how God has provided your every need that you have. When you look out, my friends, sometimes you look, and if you're like us, there's more month than there is money. Amen. You relate? But thank God, somehow, some way, we've never went without. Somehow, some way, it gets taken care of. Somehow, some way, God provides, my friend. And he takes care of us, and just in a nick of time. Just when it might be the last hour that you got before you need to make a payment or something, or run to the bank and say, here's the payment. But my friend, he comes through. He provides, and thank the Lord for those times. Thank the Lord for those stimulus, you know, stimulating us, that when we look out, be thankful that the God is supplying. Be thankful for what he's done. When you look out, you're able to see the hand of God and thank him for what he's done. As I said, when you look out at creation, thank God for the beauty that he's made. Thank God that he's provided those things for you and I to enjoy. Now listen, you might not be an outdoorsman. I want to encourage you, get your family and try it. It'll be good for you. We like sometimes to go to different reserves, like, you know, Prince's Place or Favorite Dykes, or there's a little trail out by Lake Asbury and plenty around our house that sometimes we just like to go and walk those trails or go in the woods and just have a good time and look and experience God's nature and what he has to offer, or go to the beach or something. Listen, you need that family time. You need to enjoy what God has created for you and me to enjoy. And my friend, it'll do you good. It'll do you good when you look at those things. Oh, listen, you know, as I said, my wife and I have been together for 22 years. And she is an amazing wife of mine. She is amazing. She leaves little things, as I said before, around the house that I can look out and see that she loves me. That I can wake up and look and see that she loves me. Here lately, on my mirror, when I go to get up and get ready in the morning, it has up there, I thank God for you. Because you're a great cook. Amen. Because you are hot. Woo, Lord. I'm getting hot already. And I can't tell you some of the rest of them. But she does that for me to see. Looking out, not only does she show me, but she leaves those little marks around to let me know, I love you. I appreciate you. You're there, you know, and do those kind of things. Listen, I give you some secrets how to build a strong relationship. If you do those things in your house for your husband and wife, watch out. Yeah, it'll stimulate you for Thanksgiving. You gotta watch, y'all. Being thankful for Thanksgiving stimulates you. Being thankful, you know, and love one another and show that love, you know, and be there for one another. Y'all smiling now. Be there for one another. Leave those little notes and those little stickies around, and it'll do you some good in there to build that relationship, you know. But being thankful stimulates that you can look out and thank God about and be thankful for what God has done. Be thankful for your children. Be thankful for your spouse. Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for God's creation that He has supplied for you and me to enjoy. To enjoy and be thankful for that. Not only that, but looking in will stimulate us to thanksgiving. When we look inward, what do we see? What do we see? In the first place, there should be a new possession there. 2 Peter 1:4. He goes and says this. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through the lust. Oh, listen to me. Being born again, my friend, we have a divine nature that lives within us. We have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. We have the Holy Spirit that indwells within us. We are that new person in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in and abodes in our heart. What do we see when we look in? Looking inward and seeing what is there. Oh, listen to me. Romans 8:9, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God, what? Dwells in you. Looking inside, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But thanking God, stimulus of thanksgiving, not only looking out, but looking in and being thankful what God has placed on the inside. Being thankful that God has come into our heart, transformed our life, gave us a new person, gave us a new identity, and living out loud for the Lord. Thank God for saving our soul. Thank God for transforming our life. Thank God for taking over our heart. Being thankful for the new person. Oh, listen to me, not only that, but there's a new peace in Psalm 119:165. He says, great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. God gives us peace. You have a peace when you accept Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior. He gives you an inner peace like never before. God gives you a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that comes in Him. My friend, listen to me. When you're going through those difficult times and you get that difficult news from a doctor or a family or whatever, and you're going through those trying times in our life, that's when you find out that that inner peace in your life is what keeps you going, is what keeps you going. I think of Miss Katie. She come in the door today. And she's got a smile on her face. Stand up, Miss Katie. I'll hug you. Miss Katie got a smile on her face. You know, Miss Katie had battled cancer and she beat it. But the other day they said the cancer came back. And it came back on her. And she come in this morning. She was smiling. She has a smile on her face. She has a positive outlook. And Miss Katie said, listen, no matter what they say, God's in control. And she said, not only that, but every test they did on me to do surgery, I passed them with flying colors. Not only that, but God gave me strength enough this week to go down south and visit my family, and gave me strength enough to be here today. And she says, not only that, but I'm thankful for what God is doing in my life. I'm thankful for what God is doing. Amen. Thankful for what God is doing. You know, could be brown, could be singing the blues, could be singing the blues, just the cancer's come back. Could say, man, I'm done with it. I'm singing the blues. It's Thanksgiving, and here I am, Brother Jerry. The cancer done come back. Man, I'm done. You know? But no. You know what? God has a plan. Yeah. God has a reason. And Miss Katie says, I'm not letting no cancer stop me from thanking the Lord. I'm not letting no cancer stop me from praising Jesus. I'm not letting that happen. But you know, being thankful, a time of thanksgiving. And as I said, it was that inner peace, that peace that only comes from the Lord. That peace, great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace as Miss Katie got. Great peace because God lives within her and God is inside, and God will give you that peace and get it to you where you say, listen, it's going to be okay. Miss Katie says, I'm a winner either way. Jesus is going to heal me either here or there, and I'm a winner. I'm a winner. Thank the Lord. You know, thank God for what He's done and what He's doing. Oh, listen, He gives that peace to us. The wicked don't know that peace, my friend. They don't have that real satisfying peace. Isaiah 57:21 says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The wicked don't understand that. The evil don't understand that. But my friend, God gives you an inner peace beyond belief. Not only do we look out to stimulate us for thanksgiving, looking at His beauty, looking at what He's done for us, but looking on the inside, God has transformed our life. God has transformed our heart. God has given us peace on the inside that we know we're going to be okay. That peace that could come from the Lord. A peace that can only come from God. All that we know. Not only that, not only looking in will stimulate us to thanksgiving, my friend, but as I said, when you're looking in your house and around things, when I was in my office this morning, I thought about looking in, and I thought about what is in this place. And I look up, and I see my picture of my family, and that says love, faith, and hope. And I got up and I went over to those pictures in my office and I read the scriptures that were tied to them. And I thought about that looking in. God looking in at my family. What You've gave me. Not only that, but I look across the hall, the way of my office over there. And I seen that somebody gave me a picture of Abraham, the father of faith. And Abraham is up there and he's got Isaac. And Isaac is carrying all his sacrifice on his shoulder. And there's a knife there up underneath Abraham's feet, and it says absolute faith, looking in and looking at those things and seeing absolute faith, and looking around, and I see that big 10 point that's in my wall in the office, and I was looking at that, and that reminded me back when we were in the mountains and in Cage Cove, and I was with my family and had my family with me, and the big buck come out, and Tanya was about 10 feet from him and snapped that picture of him and blew it up and gave it to me. It's on my wall. Those kind of things, looking in, not only looking in at your heart, looking in at your family, looking around your surroundings, and stimulates you for thanksgiving, thanking God of what He's given you, thanking God of what He's done in your life and stuff. And not only that, but when we were in the mountains, Tanya bought me a tree of life, and I'm going to read that to you in the end about being thankful and what the tree of life is and being thankful for what God has done and how He has done it, and you can apply it to your lives, being thankful. Not only that, as I said, not only looking out, not only looking in, but looking up. Looking up will stimulate us to thanksgiving. When we look towards heaven through the eyes of the Bible, we see several things. When we look towards heaven with eyes through the Bible, we see several things. We see, number one, a pleading Christ in 1 John 2:1. In 1 John 2:1, He says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And then if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Thank the Lord, we have a heavenly lawyer. Amen. We have a heavenly lawyer for you and me. He represents us before the throne of God. Thank the Lord, looking up, that Jesus is standing beside God. He's standing on the right hand of the Father, looking up. He's our heavenly lawyer. He's our advocate. He takes everything that we pray and our petitions to the Father, and He stands there pleading our case while Satan's up there trying to condemn us. Jesus is saying, no, that's my child. I died for them. The blood of Jesus was applied to them, and they're my child. and everything I'm entitled to, they're entitled to. Looking up and thanking Jesus. Thanking Jesus for his wonderful, amazing power that he exhibits in Psalms 147 and 15 through 19. In Psalms 147, he says this: he sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the horses like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. He who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word. He melteth them. He causeth the wind to blow and the waters to flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. It is obvious, my friend, that God is in control. It is obvious that the scientists think that they're the one that make the wind blow. They're the one that makes the water flow. They're the one that the greenhouse effect makes it hot or makes it cold. It makes it rain or makes it snow. My friend, they just need to go to the Word of God and understand who's in control of that. Who's in control of the weather? And it's God. He's the one that makes it rain. He's the one that makes it snow. He's the one that makes the cloud in the air, as we've already read. He's the one that sends rain to green up the forest and the grass. He's the one, my friend, that makes the waters flow. It's God. It's God. When we look up unto him, we see that God is in control. He's the one that takes care of all of it. Oh, listen to me. It will move us towards thanksgiving. Oh, not only that, my friend, when I think about looking up, I think about Acts chapter 7. And I think about Stephen in verses 54 and following. It says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Heard what things? They heard the power of God spoke and demonstrated through the life of Stephen. And it cut to the heart, my friend. And they didn't like it. Oh, listen. It said they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, did what? Looked up. Oh, thanksgiving for you and me ought to cause us to look up. It ought to stimulate us to look out. It ought to stimulate us to look in. But it ought to stimulate us to look up. Oh, listen. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right of God. Oh, listen to me. There's only a very few times in the Word of God where it mentions about Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Understand something. You and I can be put in the place of Stephen. And just as Stephen was being stoned, he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing. My friend, listen to me. When you and I as a child of God are going through something and we call upon his name, I can assure you, just as Stephen was there looking up into heaven and seeing Jesus standing on the right hand of God, you and I will see the same thing. Oh, can you imagine, my friend, when we're going through something like Stephen was, and look up into heaven and know that Jesus is standing up. Know that it brought him to his feet. Oh, listen to me. It said that he was standing on the right hand of God. In verse 56, and he said, behold, I see the heaven opened up, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God again. The heavens opened up, standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him of one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling up unto God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Oh, listen to me, my friend Stephen, when he was being stoned, he looked up into heaven and seen Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Seeing Jesus, oh, my friend, stimulating us for thanksgiving to look out and look at the beauty and look what God has designed and built for you and me to enjoy. Looking in and knowing that inner peace that Jesus resides within us, my friend, and looking up. Looking up, to Jesus, the one that I can see right now, standing on the right hand of the Father, just waiting for him to say, son, go get my children. Go get your church. Go get your bride. And my friend, I said it before, I absolutely think he's standing about as far as he can get his toes out. And my friend is ready and looking at the Father saying, when you gonna send me? I'm ready. Oh, listen to me. It can't be much longer before he returns. My friend, we need to be looking up. Looking up for his return. Looking for what he's going to do. Oh, listen, as I said, when we were in Tennessee, Tanya bought me a little Tree of Life. I read it. And when I read it, I said, wow, that's amazing. It says this, life is not a race, but indeed a journey. Be honest. Work hard, be choosy, say thank you, I love you, and a great job to someone each day. Go to church, take time for prayer. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Let your handshake mean more than a pen and a paper. Love your life and whatever you've been given. It is not accidentally search for your purpose, not by accident. Search for your purpose. And do it as best as you can. Dreaming does matter. It allows you to become that which you aspire to be. Laugh often. Appreciate the little things in life and enjoy them. Some of the best things really are free. Do not worry, less wrinkles are more becoming. Forgive, it frees the soul. Forgive, it frees the soul. Take time for yourselves, plan for longevity. Recognize the special people you've been blessed to know. Live for today. Enjoy the moment. Thank the Lord for what he's given you. Thank the Lord for what he's given you. Oh, my friends, looking out. Looking out at the creation. Enjoying the things God has out there for us to enjoy. Looking out. Looking in. What have we done with Jesus? What have we done with Jesus? What has he done for our heart? What has he done inside? And then looking up. Looking up for your redemption draw nigh. Looking up for Jesus' return. Looking up as Stephen did. Looked up into heaven and seen Jesus on the right hand of the Father. Looking up into heaven. And understand, my friend, I can't get over that. Make me want to have a shout and Babacostal fit. To know that when Stephen was being stoned, Jesus was standing up.
Amen.
Jesus was standing up.
Right.
And I imagine it crossed his mind, but he had to get permission from God the Father to say, can I just wipe them out right now? They're messing with my anointed. They're messing with my child. They're messing with my servant. God, I'm standing up. You give me the permission, I'll wipe them all out right now. And my friend, that's what he does for you and me. I can't help but see, my friend, in those times that we have a need, those times of persecution or whatever, just as Stephen looked up unto the Father and seen Jesus standing on his right hand, my friend, I think of those times that we can look up and there Jesus is standing for you and me. Looking up at him. Oh, it gives you a different perspective, don't it? When you look at Stephen and you hear those verses, the heavens opened up, they parted, and he was able to see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Oh, my friend, things to stimulate us for Thanksgiving.